I'd like to start tonight, if we can, by referring to a couple of scriptures, and the first in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 12, and we will start from verse 1. And he began to say to them in parables, a man planted a vineyard and made a fence round it and dug a wine vat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and left the country. And he sent a bondman to the husbandman at the season that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. But they took him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent them another bondman, and at him they threw stones and struck him on the head and sent him away with insult. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one beloved son, he sent also him to them, the last, saying, they will have respect for my son. But those husbandmen said to one another, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him forth out of the vineyard. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard to others. Have ye not even read this scripture? The stone which they that builded, the builders rejected, this has become the cornerstone. This is of the Lord, and it is wonderful in our eyes. I'll stop there. Very interesting parable here we have in Mark. And it just really paints a wonderful picture of the blessed position we're in tonight, I think. That, friend, tonight you and I are in scope of blessing. You're in scope of blessing. You think of how gospel going out to the Jews here. It's really a picture of Israel's rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to his own. He came to his own and they rejected him. You think of it speaks of the man planting a vineyard, being God, and making the fence round about it. You think of God's wonderful blessing and protection for Israel. If you look through the Old Testament, you see many occasions of where God protected them as they went about their way, the Israelites, in through the wilderness. You think of the pillar, the cloud, guiding them. And, God always sought Israel's blessing. And you can see here, you see that the owner sends this bondman to the husbandman at the season that he might receive from the husbandman to the fruit of the vineyard. You know, Jesus was rejected, wasn't he, by the Jews, the Jewish authorities. But he's looking for fruit. He was looking for fruit. But we see that this bondman that was sent, speaking of the prophets, they took him and beat him and sent him away empty. You think of the many prophets that were sent and how a lot of them came to the most horrendous deaths. They were rejected, messengers of God. And you see how it's quite interesting. I've always thought how the punishment seemed to get worse for these bondmen. The second one, they threw stones at him and struck him on the head with insult. And then the last one, they killed. And then we see, having yet therefore one beloved son. You think of God sending Jesus into the world, his only beloved son. Can't really get my head around that. It's just incredible grace and mercy from God's side that he sent Jesus into this world. And we see here the words of the owner of the vineyard. He says to the last, they will have respect for my son. Well, did Israel, did the Jews respect the Lord when he came in on the donkey or the ass into Jerusalem? They were already planning how they might kill him. If this is how they treated the law. But that same evil that was in their hearts is in all of our hearts, friend. We talked about it. You know, there wouldn't, in that sense, be any point any of us being here, if it wasn't for sin, if it wasn't for that which is inside of all of us that is against God, that we all want to do our own way, don't we? Away from God. And that distance had to be removed. And I'll speak a little about that later, but if we go down, we see that talks about the beloved son. They will have respect for him. Well, we know how the Jewish religious authorities and the Jews treated him. But those husbandmen said to one another, "This is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him, and cast him forth out of the vineyard. You think of the way my Saviour was delivered up. Yes, I know it's all under God's counsels and wise counsels, but the way men took him, and he was betrayed by his own Judas, and the sufferings that he went through at the hands of men, and how awful that was. But also, you think of those hours of darkness on the cross, how awful that must have been. We can't enter into it, really, almost, how God's righteous wrath upon sin was poured upon my Saviour's head in those hours of darkness. And then just lastly, I wanted to focus on verse 10 there. It says, "The stone which the builders rejected, this has become the cornerstone." You think of that my Saviour rejected, as he is still today by many, but he's become the head of the cornerstone. Wonderful thing to think of that. Think of him. You think of the body of Christ and how it takes character from the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that if you don't know him already, you've come to know him today. I just want to turn and read another scripture, if I may, in Romans chapter 1. And verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the glad tidings, for it is God's power to salvation, to everyone that believes, both to Jew first and to Greek." I'll stop there. Paul speaking here. "For I am not ashamed." Well, that's a challenge, isn't it, to us all? But I want to focus on, "For it is God's power to salvation." Think of what the work that Christ has done, the power of that work, the power of that work which my Saviour has done. That precious blood that flowed from his side is able to cleanse all your sins tonight, friend. It's able to take them all away. They'll never be brought up again, because God has laid a righteous basis whereby you and I can come into blessing, can come into his presence. Think of that, sinners. But yet, there is that power in what Jesus has done on that cross, that you and I can come into God's presence through Christ. And I just think it's incredible grace as well, I think, that is shown here by what Paul's saying here. Both to Jew first and to Greek. I gather that many of the places Paul went, he went to the synagogue, often to preach it first, and then he'd go out elsewhere. You know, there was still that element of grace, and how we can be so thankful to God that we've been brought into scope of the gospel. Wonderful thing to think that there tonight is hope, if you haven't trusted in Jesus already, for you and I. And it's a wonderful thing to really appreciate that, I think. And then I just want to quickly read another scripture in Genesis. Genesis 48. Because I've spoken a bit about the salvation that Jesus can bring. You can have, yes, peace, knowing your sins forgiven. And that's wonderful. But then there's, you might think, well, what's next? The pathway. It can be a challenging pathway, can't it? At times, being a Christian in this world. But we have the Holy Spirit within us. Wonderful free gift of God, who's able to help us and strengthen us in this world where we need strength away, don't we? It can be challenging at times, but when you've got Jesus and you've got that salvation, you know you're secure. Secure. You sing of that hymn, Rock of Ages. You think of how, oh friend, if you come to know Jesus, you can have full security, knowing that you have a place in heaven, in eternal life. And I just want to speak a little about this scripture. Genesis 48 and verse 15, to give us hope for the future. And He blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God that shepherded me all my life long." This was a man that had experience with God, Jacob here. He had indeed served in Laban's house for 20 years for Rachel. And we know a bit about what happened there, but here he's drawing towards the end of his life. And he'd had, as I say, much soul experience with God in many of his dealings in life with Laban and many other things that happened in Jacob's life. But here he could speak, always find this so encouraging, of the God who shepherded me all my life long to this day. Friend, what a wonderful shepherd the Lord Jesus is. He's the great shepherd, and he will lead you and guide you through all of life's paths and give you the strength simply for each day. And sometimes, you know, the shepherd has a staff or a rod, and sometimes we need to be firmly moved onto the right path, discipline sometimes. But there's that gentle side also of the love of Jesus. And it's a wonderful love, friend, that I'd love you to know about and receive tonight. How Jesus has gone into death itself. He went into the grave, friend. He went to the very depths of the earth. But he is risen today, risen and glorified. How wonderful that is, friend, to think that he has that place of glory, that place that he is fully worthy of, and how wonderful that is. And he can truly give you peace in your soul, peace with God, knowing that your sins are forgiven. You just repent of your sins and trust in him tonight. And I just want to end with a very quick story, if you can find it, about a lady who knew peace and faith in Christ. And it was a hymn that I found recently that was very affecting for me. It's called "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place." I'm sure some of you have listened to it on YouTube. I found it earlier in the week. And it's by a lady, written by a lady called Eliza Edmonds Hewitt. And she was born in 1851. She became a very studious young lady, and graduated as a valedictorian, if I said that right, top of her class, top of the academic class. So she had a lot to hope for. Obviously she was a Christian, and she was working in a school for disadvantaged young folk out in America. And in 1887, there was an incident where she was working in that school and a student hit her over the back with a heavy slate, and she suffered a severe spinal injury. You might say, well, what hope was there for her there? She ended up being bedridden for 6 months and suffered much pain for the rest of her life. And you think, well, awful. Career maybe cut short, prospects cut short, life maybe not worth living, you might think. But no, not with Jesus. She knew her Saviour. She had that peace in her soul, and she was able to write this wonderful hymn, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place." So I'll read a couple of verses so you can really bring out how wonderful she had a living faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 goes, "Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out." Friend, he'll never cast you out. Never cast you out. No one is too bad. No one has done anything that is too awful for your salvation tonight, friend. And I just think the simplicity, she knew her Saviour, and that was the rock in her life, and how it should be, how it can be the rock in your life. Enough for me that Jesus saves. You know, sometimes we can make things complicated, but the gospel, friend, is inherently simple, that Jesus died and rose again, and that you can have salvation through him. This ends my fear and doubt. Friend, you need not have any fear and doubt. There's much in this world, isn't there, to make us fearful. The news always seems to have mainly negative stories in it. But Jesus can give you perfect peace, because his work was perfect, friend. He was indeed perfect, Son of God. And then the chorus or the refrain is really also beautiful, I think. I need no other argument. I need no other plan. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Friend, can you make that personal? Can you say, Jesus died for me, shed his precious blood for me? Put your name in there. Put your name in there, friend. I wish you would do that tonight. I need no other argument. You think there are many religions in this world that would try and persuade you that if you pay into them, maybe you'll work your way into some kind of heaven. But friend, salvation is offered free. You don't need to pay for a subscription. There's nothing. Jesus has done it all. He's done the work. And all you need to do is trust in him, is to reach out. And just like Peter could, and say, Lord, save me. And find in him a true saviour. That's all I've really got. May God bless the word.
Amen.